What's up, y'all? We are back with another edition of the DNVR Rams podcast. As always, I'm your host, Justin Michael. We have a lot to get into. It's been a hectic 24 hours. This is going to be a two-parter. We're going to talk football here in part one, and then we're going to turn our attention to basketball. Really big weekend for the program. A super high-profile visit in Kerry Booth. We're going to talk about him, some of the other transfer targets. At the end of that one, I might give a couple of thoughts on WrestleMania Night 2. If we have enough time, we shall see. But the big news, obviously, is that Justice Ross Simmons is no longer with the program. We found that out after the scrimmage. I actually was not able to attend the scrimmage in person today. Had a family obligation that I needed to be at, but that was, you know, the big piece of information that came out of that. Man, there's a lot of information swirling right now. I've heard a lot of different things, so I want to try and be fair and also give you guys an idea of what I have heard, but also, you know, make it clear that these situations tend to be pretty gray. I think, like most things in life, we want to paint it as black and white, and the reality is there's probably a little bit of truth to both sides. It's a tough spot. As far as what we know now, this is what Jay Norvell told to the media following the scrimmage. I am getting this quote from my good friend of the pod, Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Coloradoan. Go check out his article online. But this was the quote from Norvell after the scrimmage. Justice Ross Simmons is not going to be part of our team anymore. Our captains talked about it today. In this era of NIL, who knows what's behind all this stuff, but he will no longer be part of our team moving forward. I thought that quote was interesting for a couple of reasons. The first of which is that Norvell is saying that he consulted with the team captains to be a part of this decision. By the way, as far as everything that I have heard goes, Justice Ross Simmons was dismissed by Norvell from the team on Friday. Justice Ross Simmons' mom is on Twitter claiming that that's not true, that he chose to leave the team under his own regard on Wednesday. The thing is, I mean, he was at practice Thursday, so I don't know if that really makes sense. Who knows, though? Everybody has their side of the story, I suppose. I'm not trying to be like, she's lying. I just think that there's a lot of different versions of this story, and it all kind of depends on who's the source telling you the information. I got to take everything with a grain of salt. I'm just trying to give you guys as best of a picture as I can. From what I have heard from sources that I trust very much, there have been a couple of Power Five programs that have been in Justice's ear for quite some time now. Rutgers and Syracuse specifically are two schools I've kind of heard. If you look at the replies to Justice Ross Simmons announcing that he'll be entering the portal, there's a lot of Syracuse fans in his mentions. Seems like the people in those circles have an idea of what's going on there as well. Seems to be kind of a classic tampering situation. It's crappy, especially because he's not even officially in the portal yet. You can't be until Monday, but we all know that this is what college football has become, unfortunately. And, you know, it kind of sounds like, you know, maybe some offers were floated his way, came back to CSU trying to essentially like create a bidding war, and they told him to bounce. Now, again, I'm not saying definitively this is 100% the way that this went down. It is what I have heard from multiple people that I trust within the program. Regardless, I wish him well. I think he's a player that has a really bright future. I certainly think he has a ton of talent. Talking about him about a week ago with one of the parents of a player, they compared him to Dez Bryant, and I thought that was kind of an astute way to talk about the way that Justice Ross Simmons, that like big breaking playability, you know, big frame, go up and get the ball. I don't know. I thought it was a good comparison. I thought he had a chance to be a really productive receiver that, you know, potentially even went on to the NFL, and maybe he'll do that at his next destination. I don't know, but it's a big loss for the offense for sure. He would have been your wide receiver too. You've now lost two of what would have been your top three receivers from this past season, at least. It makes the additions of Donovan Ollie that much more important, makes Dylan Gaffney coming back that much more important, Jordan Ross, the four-star freshman that'll be coming in. And then, you know, Jackson Warren, 6'7" tight end that they recently got a commitment from. We're about to talk about him in a couple of minutes. All those guys are going to have to step up and play bigger roles. I will say, since you have an open scholarship now, maybe you're able to go out and add another vet and the departure doesn't end up feeling like that significant of a loss. I mean, I had high expectations for Ross Simmons this year. I thought he came on strong at the end of last season, especially. He's a guy that can go up and outleap you for the football. He's a guy that if you hit him on a bubble screen, he might just make one cut and take it 80 yards to the house. He had a couple of plays like that that reminded me of vintage Demaryius Thomas, where you just get him the ball in space, he makes one guy miss, and then, you know, with those long strides, you're just gone. He's a good player, and it's a bummer that he's not sticking around, but the silver lining, of course, is you have Torrey Horton still, who's frankly just in a conversation of his own when it comes to talent. You've got multiple vets that have been proven commodities at other schools, and I've heard really good things about what Ollie and Goffney have been doing this spring from the staff. And then you've got a ton of really intriguing young talent that this is going to open up some possibilities for. As much as it stinks to lose a guy that you've put a couple of years into from a developmental standpoint and has, you know, started to flash a little bit, it is going to create opportunities for, you know, maybe like a Jordan Ross to get on the field or a Caleb Goody or something like that. And that's exciting too. And, you know, if he's not going to stick around, you'd much rather have it happen in spring than right before the season or something like that, when you don't have an opportunity to get some more reps with the ones for some of these young guys, help them get further acclimated within to their new roles. That was the toughest part about 2022, and I'm not trying to throw any of those players under the bus or speak ill of them specifically. I understand that every situation had its own context, but what was so killer about 2022, when you have all those vets leave the team halfway through the season or a couple games into the season, you'd wasted all of spring and fall on guys that ultimately weren't going to be a part of your vision for the future. And that was just bad luck. In this instance, it's still bad luck to lose a projected starter. But like I'm saying, you would just rather have it happen in April than have it happen in August, September, or October. The other thing too, and I'm saying this more from like the program's standpoint and not necessarily how I feel. I would rather have Justice Ross Simmons on the team than not have him. But if you are going to be 1 foot in, 1 foot out, go ahead and go. And it kind of sounds like that's what the opinion of the team captains was. If you're not going to be dependable, if we're not going to be able to rely on you, you might as well bounce now. Tell you another thing too, the grass, it's rarely greener out there. A lot of these guys, they find out, you know, there's quite a few false promises. I don't know. This is just the stuff that makes it tougher to remain the dedicated college football guy that I am, because I just think so much of this is bad for the state of the sport, the tampering, the chaos. I know how much money is being made in college football, and I'm not denying that players should be receiving some type of financial compensation. It's just ironic to me that we have somehow created a system where the schools still keep 100% of the money. We have removed all the structure from this conversation, and it's basically just the wild, wild west while paychecks are being bankrolled by diehard fans. None of it is sustainable. It doesn't seem to be regulated whatsoever. If we're going to make college football pro football, that's fine. But professional sports leagues have very strict guidelines, incredibly strict penalties for tampering, regulations, free agency periods. It's not just, hey, I'm going to call up the wide receiver of the Baltimore Ravens on a Tuesday and see if he wants to, you know, put on a Steelers jersey instead. We'll get him a car. You sign a contract, you got to play. And I know that there are guys that hold out, but guess what? When they hold out, they don't get paid. I'm just getting to a point where let's treat it like pro sports then. We'll cover it like pro sports. We're going to be as critical as pro sports. I've always kind of tried to be a little bit less intense, you know, on college kids than I am with my criticism of professional athletes. But like I said, if we're going to make this pro sports, then let's have it be pro sports. But with that comes accountability and regulation. That's my two cents on it all. I got kind of sidetracked there. A lot of what I was ranting about wasn't necessarily specifically applicable to the Justice Ross Simmons situation, but you wish him well. Major loss for the offense, but opportunities for young guys and other key vets to step up. And at the end of the day, as long as you've got Torrey, still feel pretty good about the passing offense. All right, we're going to move on. We're going to talk about a big-time tight end addition, Jackson Warren. Sometimes it feels like we've got to be on all the time. It's important to hit the reset every now and then, whether that means going out with friends, catching a game, maybe spending some quality time with the family. That's when you reach for a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill, you know, when I'm with family, when I'm with friends. Sometimes if I'm just at home watching a game, you just need a moment to let all the chaos of life go and have a, you know, a little sip of refreshment. And with Coors Light, it really doesn't get any better. It's the perfect cold refreshment when you want to chill. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. It's cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. When it's time to refresh, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment, crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. When it's time to chill, Coors Light is the beer that I reach for. When you want to hit the reset, grab the beer that's made to chill, get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/DNVR. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. There are a lot of financial institutions out there. Here's the one I want you to remember. Premier Members Credit Union. They're not a bank, which means they do things differently, like putting their members first with higher saving interest and lower loan rates. This is an organization that serves the community and the Colorado community in particular. With PMCU, you get local branches, friendly tellers, and the tools you need to save smarter. With their new high-yield savings account, or you can get 5% APY on your first $2,000 with their reverse-tier money market. Whatever your goal, they can help. PMCU is about creating a better banking experience for their community. PMCU has the tools to help you save smarter. When you become a new member at PMCU, you get $200. You just have to open a checking account and sign up for e-statements. It's that easy. This will be your best money move yet. All you got to do is head to becomepremier.com to find out more. Cool. While it is a bummer to lose one of your projected starting wide receivers, the Rams did add some very much needed depth to the tight end room with the addition of Jackson Warren, 6'7", 245-pound transfer tight end from Navarro College. He is a converted quarterback out of Marcus High School in Flower Mound, Texas. His senior year, he threw for 2,400 yards, 24 touchdowns, only two picks. He actually participated in a quarterback camp at Nevada in 2021 under Norvell and Mumby. So those ties to the staff do go back at least a couple of years here. What's funny is, you know, even on the roster today for Navarro, he's still listed as a quarterback. He had 17 catches for 308 yards and two touchdowns at Navarro. Had a rushing touchdown as well where he was took a direct snap out of the quarterback formation, just ran it in for a one-yard score. He had offers from Oregon State, South Florida, Central Florida, Marshall, SMU, UMass, New Mexico, to name a few, Incarnate Word and some other smaller but competitive programs as well. When you watch him on Huddle, it is clear that he's raw as a route runner, and that makes sense. You know, really only played the position for a year or two here. But what I like about him, and again, you got to take all Huddle highlights with a grain of salt because you're only going to put your good moments on there. But he takes really long strides. That makes sense. You're 6'7". He moves well for a guy that's close to 250 pounds. I don't think you're going to be thrown in bubble screens or anything like that, but he does have a little bit of elusivity and the ability to make guys, miss, maybe sidestep a tackle or something like that. Dallin Holker deceptively had some of that to his game as well. You know, the ability to, you know, just get 3-4 extra yards on some of those catches in tight space where you're able to make a guy miss, pick up a couple of key yards there. He catches with his hands and not his body. Some of you guys might think that sounds a little obvious, but you'd be surprised. Even when we're doing the NFL draft stuff, how many guys that'll have like 1,000-yard seasons and you watch them and every catch is with their body. He uses his hands. You love to see that. He'll have room to grow as a route runner. Like I said, you don't see very much variety. It's, you know, out routes, vertical routes, stuff like that. But stuff that's going to translate in the system. There are a couple times where it looked like they hit him on, you know, like a crosser concept. I think he's going to be a very natural fit in this system. And especially with the departure of Dallin Holker, I think this is a really big move. I mean, I was pretty honest when I did my preview stuff at the beginning of spring. One of the questions I had, one of my five biggest questions for spring, was, is the starting tight end even on the roster right now? And that's not that I don't think guys like Vincent Brown, Jordan Williams, Mason Muau don't have potential. They've all got great size. Man, the Rams have a ton of size at tight end, four guys that are 6'5 or above, a couple of other receivers, as well as six wide receivers that are 6'2 or above. So the promise of coming in and making CSU bigger, stronger, faster, that's definitely been the case by Norvell. I remember at his introductory press conference, you could just see in his eyes, like, man, these guys are not going to get it done. When you look at the receivers now, when you look at the offensive line now, it's glaring, the difference in size and athleticism from, you know, just a couple of years ago. I will say, I do think that Vincent Brown will still play somewhat of a role for this team. I've heard some good stuff from how he's been practicing this spring. BFN was pretty complimentary of him when I talked to him the other day. So I'm not throwing in the towel on any of these guys, but you just watch Warren on film and, man, that's a big boy that moves well with natural athleticism. You like that he's got the quarterback background because he's smart. He's going to understand space and, you know, where do I need to sink down to give BFN, you know, a target? Oh, he's going out of the pocket. Where should I sit and give him, you know, somebody to dump the ball off to? I just like that. I like guys with the QB background that move to pass catchers. It's usually more like wide receivers, Julian Edelman, Rott Smith, et cetera. There have been a bunch. The Steelers had one. I think Randall L. was a quarterback at one point in college. I do think that really can serve to benefit you. But more than anything, it gives you a consistent red zone target at 6'7". Just throw it up and let him go get it. It's a guy you can throw the ball over the top to. It's a guy that, you know, you're going to be able to attack the middle of the field with. And you need that. When they had nobody to attack the middle of the field with in 2022, you just take safeties and you double Torrey all day. You know, you're basically just daring them to go over the top or try and drop a screen or something like that. With Holker, you know, all of a sudden, you just had so much more consistency between the 20s. He was huge on third down. He was huge in the red zone. He was a big loss, and there is a lot of production to be made up for, whether it be Warren or Vincent Brown or any of these guys, Mason Muau, Jordan Williams, who knows. But my gut feeling is that Warren, assuming that he takes to the system pretty quickly this summer and, you know, stays healthy, that's always a caveat. He'll be the starting tight end week one. That would be my guess. He feels very Cole Turner-y to me. And if you don't know who I'm talking about, that was the 6'6", 240-pound tight end that starred for Nevada with Carson Strong. Actually, was the preseason first-team All-Mountain West tight end over Trey McBride, which I understood how people could come to that conclusion based off of style, just assuming that Turner would have put up bigger numbers. And of course, Trey ended up going on to win the Mackey Award with just an insane amount of production. But Turner was very similar, like a lanky guy, a guy where you could throw a football to the top of the backboard in a basketball gym. Obviously, like, I'm just saying how high he could jump. That's a stupid way to say it, but you get the point. Can jump through the building, you know, explosive, despite the fact that he has that big frame, can run pretty well and carries it nicely. You coach him up a little bit, help him become a little bit crisper, a little bit more refined as a route runner. I think the potential is there for him to be a really good tight end, especially in this system. Just feels like a perfect fit in the air raid. There are a couple plays on that huddle highlight where it looks straight out of Reno 2021. I mean, he catches the Hail Mary in the back of the end zone, just a vertical shot that felt somewhat similar to the play against Boise State. Actually, CSU posted a video practicing that exact play the other day. I think it was Jordan Williams that came down with it. I'm excited. That's basically my point here. I'm excited about Jackson Warren's fit. I think he is much needed for a very important role in this offense. I'm excited to see what he looks like this summer once he gets to campus. And then, you know, we're not that far from fall camp. Football season's going to be here before we know it. I personally can't wait. I'm ready for a little bit of slow time. It's been pretty chaotic. I mean, basically going nonstop since the start of fall camp last year, straight into the overlap with basketball and everything that happens in between. It's been a long year, but I'm excited. I'm excited. Year three, big expectations. Hopefully finally going to get back to a bowl game, 7 home games, a couple of rivalry games at home. You know, I'm excited. All right, I'm going to wrap up part one here with a couple of thoughts on a Mountain West transfer corner that will be in Fort Collins for the spring game. I'll tell you more about that in just a second. Real quick, I want to talk to you guys about Game Time. It shouldn't be a stressful process trying to buy tickets, but unfortunately, like most things in the world today, it's just become annoying. You get hit with 8 million hidden fees. They're not very transparent with the process. It's just buying tickets as a whole has become really an annoying ordeal unless you're doing it with Game Time. And that's what's awesome about Game Time is they don't do any of that crap. You're able to get last minute deals. Actually, the closer you get to the start of the event, the more the prices go down, sometimes even an hour after the event starts. What's awesome about Game Time, they have the lowest price guarantee. So if you can find a ticket in the same section for same row for less, they'll credit you 110% of the difference. They've got all in pricing. So the price that you see is the price that you pay. It's not going to be like, hey, you know, $20 tickets, then you go to pay and all of a sudden convenience fee, this fee, 8 million other fees. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use that code DNVR for $20 off your first purchase. Terms do apply. Again, create an account, use that code DNVR for $20 off. Download Game Time today, last minute tickets, lowest prices guaranteed. I also want to talk to you guys about the Circa Sportsbook. You can download the app at circasports.com. What's awesome about Circa is they don't limit players based on their winnings. Every player has the same limits, unlike other books who do limit player winnings. They keep as little money as possible on large market bets, like futures, golf tournaments, for instance. If you would have placed a future on the Masters, they had some sweet deals there. And there are real people behind the Circa Sports brand who resolve issues in a timely fashion, unlike other books who use chatbots. Cannot say enough good things about Circa. The resort in Vegas is awesome. The app is super convenient as well. Circa Sports bets can be made only while physically located in the state of Colorado. Must be 21 or older. All rights reserved. Circa Sports Colorado encourages you to gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call or text 1-800-GAMBLER or visit problemgamblingcolorado.org. Finally, FuboTV is the best way to watch the most Colorado sports for the lowest price. Stream 140-plus live channels of sports shows, movies, and news. You can stream live TV from any device. You can start watching immediately with a free trial. No contract, no cable, no hassle. Just sign up and start watching. You get 1,000 hours of cloud DVR included and no extra charge. You can watch your local teams while traveling. It is awesome. The Colorado Rockies are on Fubo all season long, so if you can't get them, there's a great reason to sign up. Watch all your favorite sports, including the Rockies, with Fubo. Go to www.fubotv.com/DNVR to sign up for 15% off your first month of Fubo Pro. Alrighty, before we get out of here, I did want to give you guys a little bit of information on an intriguing transfer cornerback that CSU will be hosting on April 20th for the spring game. That is UNLV transfer corner Ricky Johnson. He posted 36 tackles, 4 tackles for loss, and a team high 7 PBUs this past season. He's already officially been offered by CSU. Also, according to Chris Hummer on Twitter, is receiving interest from Arizona, Michigan State, Vanderbilt, and Boise. Originally out of Houston, Texas, he was a 3-star prospect at a high school, played in 11 games as a true freshman for UNLV, including 2 starts. He actually led the team with 3 interceptions as a true freshman in 2021, 25 total tackles, 2 PBUs. He also had a scoop and score against UNM, which was impressive for his freshman year. Sophomore year in 2022, he only participated in 3 games. Suffered an injury in fall camp that resulted in him missing the majority of the season. He didn't return until week 10 against San Diego State. And in that game, he had 4 tackles and an interception and a PBU in his first game back. So this is a guy that's just a playmaker. When you look at 2021, small sample size, in 2022, or last year where he was especially a breakout DB in that strong UNLV secondary, this is a guy that is aggressive. He's got nice ball skills. I think this is exactly what CSU needs. I feel pretty good about Nevada transfer Isaiah Assisima. He's on the smaller side, and that worries me. But he's a dog, man. He's had a play in practice the other day where I went up and high-pointed the football, ripped it out of the receiver's hands. I like his mentality. I like his experience. Larry from Navy, Elias Larry, he's a guy who I think has solid potential as well. But, I mean, if you can bring in a proven commodity in this conference like Ricky Johnson, 6'1", 180, good size for, I assume two seasons of eligibility. I assume he would get a red shirt for that 2022 year. That would be huge. I would say that corner would be my top priority for adding another player, followed now shortly by wide receiver with the departure of Justice Ross Simmons, although I really don't feel bad about that group because I like the young talent. You've got Torrey, Ollie, and Goffney, so you should be fine. But, I mean, if you could, for depth's sake, I would add a proven vet there. And, linebackers may be the other one that I would consider, but we're hearing pretty good things about the young guys. Jaden Landrum, Drew Rodriguez certainly have some room to grow, but, next to Chase Wilson, I don't think it's dire necessarily. I really want to land Johnson, though, so I'll keep you guys in the loop with that as I get information. That's all I have on this part. Again, we're going to focus on basketball on part two. Just seemed more natural to break it up than doing a really extended episode that was all over the place. I hope you tune into that as well. A lot of stuff happening on the hoop side when it comes to the recruitment trail right now. So make sure you check all that out. Much love, y'all. Always proud to be. Peace.
Peaches out of Palisades, sweet as mama's marmalade. This shit sound like summer days, the windows down on harmony. The family band sing harmonies, my daddy played the drums. My mama slapped that bass, my sister sang these songs. Dancing under canopies, we thank the trees for all their leaves. We are just some drops of water, together make up seven seas. And one day I'll be like my father, one day I will learn to breathe. I'm choking on the thought that I am not the man I wanna be. I got blood on my shirt, like I wear my heart on my sleeve. She said I look good in red, but that went straight to my head. So now she's rocking my tees, tucked into new Prada jeans. And we ain't spoken a month, but I just saw her last week. The lipstick stain still on my cheek, like we ain't talk enough. And we always seem to laugh, but never nod at us. So the future's looking grim, it's kinda ominous. And this song ain't about love, that'd be too obvious. See, this is more about lust and all of my misconceptions. And this is more about me and all of my self-deception. I'll tell myself a lie 100 times, don't need corrections. But every night I pray to God, I hope I learn my lesson. And the peaches out from Palisade, and they sweet as mama's marmalade. And this should sound like summer days, the windows down on harmony. The family band sing harmonies, my daddy played the drums. And my mama slapped that bass, and my sister sang these songs. Dancing hand in hand, we were tripping to left feet. Like a middle school slow dance, no one knew how to lead. But I'm still thankful for these days, they put a smile.